Well, there were several reasons. One was the Mongol invasions. And it was more than just that the Mongols came in and crushed a Seljuk army at Kursadah in 1243, and the Sultan of Konya became a Mongol vassal. The Mongols had entered the Near East some 20 years earlier, and Mongol terror tactics, legendary, if you oppose the Mongols, they simply wipe you out. The Mongols had terrified many Turkish tribes, many Turkmens from Central Asia, who had pushed into Asia Minor in advance of the Mongol hordes. And so in the 10 or 15 years before the catastrophic defeat, Asia Minor was a place of refuge for many Turkish tribes who came fleeing out of Central Asia. They were also accompanied by many Muslims from Persia. Rumi's family, in fact, was part of that migration in advance of the Mongol terror. And they had very good reason for doing this. When the Mongols entered the heartland of Islam, they captured the city of Baghdad, the religious center, and leveled it to the ground in 1258. And there are incredibly grisly stories of how the entire population was massacred, with the exception of a small Christian community, because Hulagu, the Mongol general's, one of his favorite wives was a Christian, said, "You shouldn't do that, dear." Otherwise, the rest of the population was, according to legend, was divided into three groups, and there were three piles of heads, one for men, one for children, one for women, and the whole capital city was burned down. The Mongol invasion was a disaster for medieval Islam, which really shocked the Islamic world. And the arrival of all of those Turkmen tribes out of Central Asia disrupted the efforts of the sultans in Konya to build an effective state. You had enough trouble controlling your Ghazis, who were always in search of more grasslands, who needed to have wars against the Byzantine Christian foe, and now you get thousands of more of these Turkish tribesmen appearing in eastern Anatolia, in Transcaucasia, and it just added to the problem. The newcomers from Central Asia could not be easily accommodated into Islamic Asia Minor. Many of them retained their tribal traditions and still went by old tribal names, some of them quite colorful, such as the Black Sheep Turks or the White Sheep Turks. They retained the Ghazi tradition of fighting, and they were in constant search for grasslands, but they couldn't be very easily accommodated because most of Asia Minor was now in the hands of Muslims. Furthermore, in time, these newcomers favored the Shiite version of Islam, which is the sectarian version of Islam. And so they came to look to the Shahs of Iran as potential protectors against the rising power of the Ottoman sultans to the west. And as a result of the arrival of all of these new Turkish immigrants, the situation in Asia Minor was simply confused and complicated. Now, in this situation, the Sultanate of Konya simply disappeared. By the early 14th century, Asia Minor dissolved into a series of competing lords, beys, emirs, sultans. They went under a variety of titles. And it was really, in some ways, the least expected contender in this medley of Turkish states that emerged to unite the peninsula under an effective Turkish-Muslim rule. And it would be the Ottoman Turks. And they had several advantages in their favor. First, they were on the fringes of Turkish civilization in Asia Minor. They were on the northwestern frontier. And they could continue very easily the Ghazi tradition of fighting the Byzantine Christian foe. And in 1354, 1356, they managed to get a hold of Gallipoli, that European peninsula on the other side of the Dardanelles, cross into Europe and carve out a new homeland in the Balkans. Furthermore, they had a brilliant succession of rulers, particularly the Sultan Orhan, and perhaps the greatest of all sultans, a man on par with Suleiman the Magnificent in the 16th century, Mehmet II, Mehmet the Conqueror, and Mehmet is the Turkish name for Mohammed. He would come to the throne at the age of 19 and launch a career of conquest, which really should put him in the halls of the great generals of all time. Mehmet, furthermore, carried out important administrative reforms, and in part he drew on the traditions of the Byzantine state, which were available to him and not readily available to the other Turkish powers in Asia Minor. And above all, he inherited a magnificent army, based not only on the traditional Turkish cavalry, but on two new important military innovations. One was disciplined infantry after the tradition of the Byzantine and the Roman armies, and finally, that magnificent new weapon which gave kings the power to crush nobles, artillery. And it's with this great siege train and with these disciplined soldiers known as Janissaries, crack infantry, that Mehmed could finally draw an end to all of this political confusion, conquer really the heartland of this future Ottoman Empire.